Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, four lines down, the last word on the line is Tano. Nevad shelo asur, v'shel chavero mutar. So if he's the one who worships the item, it's his own item, then he can make it asur. But for his friend, it's mutar. V'reminhu. Is that really true? We have a Tosefta that says, Ezehu nevad, kol shov dimoto, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, ben bonus, ben beratzon. So what's called a nevat? What's called something that is worshipped, an item that is considered to be avodah zarah? No, over here we're talking about nevat, b'balei chayim, ha-nasar le-gvoah. We're talking about livestock that's being worshipped for avodah zarah. So now, if that which he bowed down to, we said in the statement, if it was his own animal, then he can make it asur. Whereas if it's someone else's animal, he doesn't have that right. But yet now we have the Tosefta that suggests that Ezru Nevad is kol shov dim ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezi, ben bonus, ben b'ratzon. So over here, ben bonus means that even against his will, if it's worshipped, then it becomes asura. The behema will be asura, even though it wasn't his, or it wasn't with his acquiescence. So Mer wants to know, hayones hechidomi. How does this onus work? Lav, kegon danas behemat chevero. He made off with his friend's animal. He took his friend's animal against his will. And then he bowed down to it. And it's a surah, which would be against what we just said. So Mar says, Amar Rami Barchama, look, Kagon Shansua Ovde Kuchavim, Vishtachavel, Behemto Didei. So no, the duress was not that they took his behema, but the duress was placed upon him. That the Ovde Kuchavim forced him to worship his own animal. They forced him to bow down to his own animal. Now, as Tosus points out here, it's not that they forced him to bow down, physically forced him to bow down, because over there would be no masa. He didn't do anything. But rather, they threatened him with his life. They said to him, you have a choice. Either bow down to your animal, or we're going to kill you. So at that point, he makes a decision to bow down to the animal. Then it makes it asura. Matkifla Rabbi Zeira. Zeira has a problem. Says, Ones, Rachmana Patre. We know that there's a principle throughout the Torah, which is when someone is in duress, when someone has done something without consciousness, when they are without intent, when they are forced to do something, that Ones is Rachmana Patre. The Torah says you are Patur. Dichtiv, because we have the Pasuk. That you don't do anything to the woman, the girl. Over here, the girl was forced under duress to do a sexual act, and she's not held culpable because it was against her will. So from there, we learn that onus rachmana patre. Now, there is a difficulty with Rabbi Zeira's statement, and Tosfos raises the issue, or at least seems to be addressing this issue, which is you're talking about two different things. One thing is that there's an aveira. The other thing is that you have an onesh, that there's a punishment for that aveira. Onesh rachmana patre suggests that you're not chaya for the onesh. Doesn't mean that the action that you take or the item that you do is necessarily mutar. Now that is subject to machlokas or chakira. When the Torah says onesh rachmana patre, is the reason you are patur in those instances either because there is no maisa aveira, onus lacks a maisa aveira, and therefore you will not be punished. Or maybe there is a maisa aveira, just onus rachmana patre says you're not held culpable, you don't get punished in that instance. Over here, it seems from the suggestion of Rabbi Zeira that onus rachmana patre should be sufficient to eliminate the problem of a maisa aveira over here. That is as if it doesn't exist. Rabbi Zeira is saying onus rachmana patre, how could it ever be that someone was forced to worship avodah zarah, that avodah zarah will be asura, because onus rachmana patre. And when he's bringing it down, he's saying, well, if you don't get punished, must be that there is no maaseh avira. Now Tosfos will take issue with this and say that can't be the case. And Rabbi Zeira definitely does not say that onus rachmana patre means that it's muteret. So if it left in that case, it's still, and Tosfos has to work through that. Once you assume that the patur here is not because there's a lack of masa avera, but you did have a masa avera, it's just your patur, so why should that affect whether the animal's a surah or not? You have to come up with another reasoning behind Rabbi Zeira, which Tosfos will do. We'll do that in a second. So, Amar Rava, Akola Yubichlau, Lo Te'avdeim. Everything was included under the restriction of lo tabdim. Do not worship them. When you have the alternative pasuk, or this pasuk which tells us that one must live by the mitzvot and not die by the mitzvot, yetza ones. So in that case, someone who is forced or under duress and made to do something, they are not required to do that. For instance, to give up their life. Because there's a requirement that you live by the precepts of the Torah, and not that the precepts of the Torah cause you to die. And that means that you are yarvur ba'al yihareiv. You're better off violating the mitzvah rather than being killed. And then the pasuk says, "V'lo tachalulu Hashem kodshi." Then we also have a pasuk that tells us, "V'lo tachalulu Hashem kodshi." You're not allowed to profane Hashem's name. You're not allowed to be mechalel Hashem shamayim. So it sounds like that feel the bonus. Even under duress, one is held accountable, or the demand on them is to be mekadesh Hashem shamayim. So how do we reconcile that? Haketzad, habitzinah v'habefer hesiyah. That is when it's done privately or publicly. When it's public, Kiddush Hashem requires 10. So that's a public issue. And if it's a public issue, then there's a demand in the Torah of Lo Techalu Et Shem Kodshi. Do not be Mechalel Shem Shemaim, and one must give up their life rather than violate the precept of the Torah. On the other hand, it's Betzina. If it's in private, there is no such requirement because there's no Kiddush Hashem. Then we revert back to the pasuk of b'chai b'hem. Then one must live by them and not die by them. What's amazing here, what's interesting, is that Rava is applying this to avodah zarah. Rava is saying that by avodah zarah there is a requirement of b'chai b'hem v'lo shi'imot b'hem. Right, it's one of the big three of yehireg ve'al yavur. That seems to indicate that Rava is holding like Rabbi Shmuel that we had earlier in the Masechta. Rabbi Shmuel on Chav Zayin Amud Bet, Rabbi Shmuel appears in Sanhedrin as well, says that there is no demand of Yehareg Ve'al Yavur by Avodah Zarah. Seems to be that Rava is saying the same thing, that by Avodah Zarah there's no requirement to give up one's life. Now that's very hard or very difficult because Rava is a Batra. Rava is a very late Amora, and generally we're going to pass an Alocha like Rava. If we're going to pass an aloha like Rava now, that means that what we always thought, the big three, right, are only a big two now. There is no, it's not even a big two. Maybe even that is questionable now. Although those two are learned Shvichu Damim has a logic, and Naran Lo Taseh Davar learned out the Shvichu Damim. So over there, it seems that Rabbi Shmuel might agree in those instances. But at least Rava over here is saying that a Avodah Zarah does not require one to give up their life. That's an incredible thing. That one would not have to give up their life. Tosos right away jumps on and says, it just can't be. It can't be that Rava holds like Rabbi Yishmael. One of his reasonings, or one of his points, is that the Gemara in Ketubot suggests that Rava holds the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is the author of the position that by those three cardinal sins, the three Lord sins, one is Yehereg V'al Yavor. And in Ketubot, it seems to be that Rava holds like Rabbi Yochanan. So how do you reconcile between the two? Now you could say that Rava over here is the main Rava. And Rava in Ketubot is just saying, even according to the one who holds like Rabbi Yochanan, you can still say ses and shatz, now that he's holding, or the other way around. You can say that which is in Ketubot is the Ikar, and Rava over here is saying, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, I can explain this. I can explain this even according to the Dat Rabbi Shmuel. And that's the tact that Tosfos takes. Tosfos says that Rava really paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, which means that all three cardinal sins are Yehereg V'al Yavor. But when it comes to this Gemara over here, he's just explaining, even according to the position of Rabbi Yishmael. And he says, look, I know the She'iltot paskins like Rabbi Yochanan. And he writes, V'kasha, it's an unbelievable, he says, V'chosh v'shalom, she'nifsach she'ovdat chulavim yavor v'lo yihareg. How could it be that chos v'shalom, that it could be that one would be allowed to worship Avodah Zarah and not give up one's life? And because of that, he says that Rava is only just explaining this Gemara according to Rabbi Shmuel. He quotes from the Smag. I mean, the way our Gerson Tosas says it's in the Smag. If you go to the Smag gives the same answer I just gave you that Tosas gives for Rava, but he quotes a different answer from the Smag, which is that Rabbi Shmuel does not necessarily argue with Rabbi Yochanan. So that towards the end of the Hatzina Behavahesia Tosas, which he says, Umari Dodi, Harav Moshe Mikutzi, my teacher, I don't know if it's his beloved or it's really his, someone who is related to over here, the Smag, בספר מצוות שחיבר, the Sefer Mitzvot Gadol שחיבר כתב. So over there, if you look there, it's in, if you look in the Mitzvot Aseh, Simon Gimel, it's not there. He gives the same answer that we just said for Tosos. So Berak Petzorer Omer, so the Bach alters the Girsa to say that it's written in his Perush in Sanhedrin. But Zelushano, Rabba, the Perush Rabbi Shmuel, Rabba and Perush Shmuel, which is our Rabba right here, Lo Pole Galei de Rabbi Yochanan. He doesn't argue on Rabbi Yochanan. Elahachi Perushu, Amar Rabba, Kol Hayu Bechlal Tolo Avtein, Ben Azharah, Ben Lemita. Everything was included, whether it's the Azharah or the Mita. Shumer Bechai Bahem, Yatsa Ones de Tzina, Mikol Vakol, Ben Me Azharah, Ben Me Mita. Then it comes, when it comes to Ones by Tzina in private, there's no Azharah and there's no Mita. What about the requirement of Yehareg V'Aliyavor? If there's no Azara to keep the against worshipping Avodah Zarah, there's no punishment for worshipping Avodah Zarah, then why don't you, instead of giving up your life? He answers, Aval ha modi rabo dika say. There's still an assay left. The b'chol nafshecho, which is the source that Rabbi opened, is the b'chol nafshecho. Afilu hu notel et nafshecho. That there's still a mitzvah to say to give up one's life, even when there's an onus. So that's his, in the end, the Smag says, okay, from Robo we're going to learn that if someone, the requirement of Yehareg Vel Yavor is simply a mitzvah to say. If one does not keep it, they have not violated a lo to say, and they will not be punished for it if one violates and worships Avodah Zarah. There is a requirement, they'd be violating an assay, but not a lo to say and not an onish. So that's how the Smag solves the problem. Smag saying that this Gemara is addressing the lo to say and the onish, and that's what Rava is saying over here. There's no lo to say and onish. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that there's an assay. There's a mitzvah and positive commandment to give up one's life in the face of Avodah Zarah, and that still exists. And that's how we will paskin like Rava. And again, he has to be, whole Verov is a batro, we need to get it to be that the locha is like Rava. The other issue which I raised before, which is very difficult, is how do you reconcile between the fact that Rabbi Zeira is bringing in l'anaralu tase davar, ones, which seems to be a tour for the onish, which frees you of the onish, but doesn't tell you anything about the chait. You might still have worshipped the Avodah Zarah, you might still have done something wrong, and Tosus clearly believes that. You can see the, if you look in Tosus, in the narrow lines, it's 2, 4, 5, 6 lines up in the narrow lines in Tosus, from the bottom of the narrow lines, v'nira l'rabbeinu Yitzchak, fresh, d'bein l'rabbi Zerah, v'roba lo plige, v'hadle chachila chayav l'mzor etzmo, that chachila, everybody agrees, one has to give up their life when it comes to Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Zerah hachi parach, and this is Rabbi Zerah's question, onus rachmana patre, d'yevet, b'd'yevet, if one violates and worships Avodah Zarah, they are pturim, they're pturim from the onish. Even though he should have given up his life, nevertheless, he should not, through his worshipping of the animal, make it into something that's a surah. Why? Because he won't be punished for it. So this is Rabbi Zeira's logic. According to Tosfos, the question that we asked, he's saying, Enochanami, you're right. All that Rabbi Zeira says is that you are patur from the onus. We're now on the widest line, the first of the widest lines in Tosfos. Right? That what does Rabbi Zeira comes along and says? Okay, you're faced with the choice, and a person is faced with the choice, we're going to kill you, or you worship Avodah Zarah. What should he do? He should die. He shouldn't give up his life. Now, if he doesn't do that, and he doesn't give up his life, is he chayav? The answer is no, because he's in onus. Okay, from that, Rabbi Seir says, I can show you that what he's doing here is really not Avodah Zarah. Because if what he was doing was Avodah Zarah, then he should be punished for it. The fact that he's not punished for it indicates it's not Avodah Zarah. If it's not Avodah Zarah, then the animal should not be Asura. That's Rabbi Zeira's logic. V'Rabba Mesik, Rabbi comes to undermine that logic and says, the fact that if this was done in public, it would be a requirement to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, give up your life, you see that it is Avodah Zarah. It is Avodah Zarah, because if it was in public, he would be chayav, and he would be punished for it. He has to do it. In that case, b'farhesya, he has to give up his life, and he would be, technically, it would be called Avodah Zarah. Avagav b'dievet patur, again, he may not be punished for it, he may not get an onish for that, but he has an absolute requirement to give up his life, b'farhesya, where there's a problem of lo techalulu et shem kodshi, right, that one may not be mechalel shem shamayim, lo techalulu et shem kodshi. So because of that, you see that it is Avodah Zarah. Now, when he does it b'tzina, true he's patur, true he doesn't have the requirement of lo techalulu et shem kodshi, but nevertheless, the fact that if he did it b'farhesya, it would be chayav, indicates you that you have a maseh avera here. You have a maseh that what is called Avodah Zarah. If that's the case, the animal should be a surah. So that's what Tosfos suggests over here. The machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Zeira is not revolving around whether there is a Maaseh Aveira or isn't a Maaseh Aveira, but rather, everybody agrees that l'chadchila, you have to give up your life, which indicates there is some sort of Maaseh Aveira here. On the other hand, does the punishment indicate to us, the punishment indicates to us whether there was a Avodah Zarah or no Avodah Zarah. So the lack of punishment seems to indicate that there should be no Maaseh Avodah Zarah. No Maaseh Aveira, but no Maaseh Avodah Zarah. That's what Rabbi Zeir's suggestion is. Rabbi suggests, no, you see that there is Maaseh Avodah Zarah, because if it was done in public, you would be required to give up your life. And even though, again, you would not get an onesh, you still have a violation of an Isur. There's an Azarah, you violated an Isur. So when you violated that Isur, there is a Maaseh Aveira, but a Maaseh Aveira of Avodah Zarah, and that's going to make it that you make the animal Asura. Easier way to explain the Gemara would to suggest that Rabbi Zeir believes that Onis lacks a Maaseh Aveira, and Rabbi believes that there is a Maaseh Aveira, you just patur, which is the simplest way. But Tosfos rejects that logic or that way of thinking because he says, Ve'en lomar, so Rabbi Zeir, Onis rachmana patur mikol vakol. That even the chatchila, one does not have to give up their life for this. Because then why is he bringing it from Lusa Davar? Because Milara Tosavar is one of the, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, is one of those places where you do have to give up your life with chatchila. So why is he bringing that pasuk as a proof? The fact that he brings that pasuk as a proof shows you that he believes the chatchila, you have to give up your life. Well, you only have to give up your life if there's a Maaseh Aveira. If there's no Maaseh Aveira at all, you won't have to give up your life. So again, he could have explained it otherwise, but Tosfos rejects that logic and therefore has to come up with a nuanced approach to explain the difference between Rabbi Zeira and Rava. Say they both think it's a Maaseh Aveira, but Rabbi Zeira thinks it's a Maaseh Aveira of some sort that requires you giving up your life, but it's not a Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, Rava says, no, not only is it a Maaseh Aveira, it's a Maaseh Aveira of Avodah Zarah, even though you're Patur from Onesh. So it's a nuanced difference between their two opinions. Tosfos also addresses something that he mentions many places in Shas, which is that in general, when it comes to Yehereg V'al-Yavor, that's only in active situations, not in passive situations. So for instance, the Tosfos here brings the example always that if they say, kill someone or we'll kill you, then one must give up their life in that instance. If they say, we will tie you up and throw you onto someone, or we'll kill you, then the Behis doesn't have to refuse in that case, because he's not actively killing. And so for that reason, Tosfos believes that in passive situations one is patur, and in active situations one's chai v'yereg v'yavur. Because of that, he starts to ask about why does the Gemara bring a proof from a na'arat lo taseh davar, which is a woman. A woman in general, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin points out, is karka olam hi, and she does not have a requirement to give up her life by maaseh aveira. Tosfos here makes a distinction which is very controversial and is discussed by the Rishonim in Sanhedrin, the Balamor, the Ramban, all discuss this, where there is a possibility of a woman being active in arayot. I mean, do we always say Yehareg V'al-Yavor, and there's no such thing as Tehareg V'al-Yavor? There's no, a woman will never have to give her life up when it comes to a maaseh of arayot. She just can't be active. She is, by definition, a passive participant whenever it comes to arayot, because you require the male to be active, and therefore she's always passive. Tosfos over here makes a distinction, and it's a difficult distinction, but he says, Karka Olam, when it comes to this, Ishlamar, Delos Karka Olam, Leinam Torah Mita. That when it comes to Karka Olam, that doesn't say that you're Patur from the Onish. Vein Tam Lefratur Mita Mishimonis. The reason a woman does not get punished when it comes to Tehareg Vayavor is because, or by the case of Elanir Tazavar, is because she's Onish. She was under duress. She did it against her will. Teda. I can prove it to you, because if she was a willing participant, she would be chayevet. So the reason she's patur over here is not because she's karka olam, but because she was under duress, right, forced in the situation. That the only thing that karka olam says is determines is whether she has to give up her life or not give up her life. Is there a requirement for her to give up her life rather than participate or not? Karka olam says she doesn't have to give up her life. Im lo. So this is the big chiddush in Tosfos. Im lo shemru lala o tehareg o tavi alecha erva. If they say to her, either die or bring an erva on you, which Tosfos now calls her an active participant, where she somehow encourages or pushes for an erva to come to her. In that case, he says that she has to give up her life. She's no longer karkola. Or if they say to her, you just sit there and let someone sleep with you, or give up your life, then she doesn't have to give up her life. So Tosfos here makes a distinction in a woman that she can be an active or a passive participant. If she simply just has to stay there and lay there, then she's not required to give up her life. But that's karka olam, she's passive. On the other hand, if she brings the erva on her, she's demand of her to bring the erva on her, to somehow, I don't know exactly what Tosfos is here, to seduce the person, to somehow encourage the act, right, or promote the act, then she becomes an active participant and she does not have the tour of karka olam, she has to give up her life. So this is a big chiddush in Tosfos, that there is such a thing as a constant of activity in a rayot for a woman that would require to give up her life of tereg v'al tavor. Whereas many of the other Rishonim believe that there's only a hereg v'al yavor, and there's no application of activity by a woman, by a rayot. By definition, the act can never be active. It's always karka olam for the woman, and therefore she does not have to give up her life. All right, just a little tamsit, a little review from Sanhedrin, and some just interesting, very, very interesting Tosafot that raise issues for us over here. So now, Amrulei Rabban on the Rovo. The Rabbanon came and said to Rabba, Tanya de Misayelach, we have a braita that supports your position. Be mosiot shel ovdei kochavim. Those pedestals that we discussed in our Mishnah yesterday were these single stone items that they use for the Avodah Zarah, or towards the Avodah Zarah. At the time that you have gzera, afu pisha gzera b'teila. So now it was a time of the gzera, but even though the gzera is now batel, oton bismiyot lo bitu. Those bismiyot don't lose their status as a avodah zarah. So what do you see from this? You see, first of all, Rashi says here, which is not so clear. Now, the Gemara seems to make this also, but it's not so clear. Rashi says shatak gzera farhesiyahu ba'onesu. Shatak gzera is automatically b'farhesiyah. So that's a support to Rava. That's somewhat difficult because the Gemara in Sanhedrin makes a clear distinction between the two. There's Shata Shmad and there's Farhesya. Those are two different issues. But Shata Shmad, there might be a requirement to give one's life even without Farhesya. Farhesya and Shata Shmad are two different requirements of giving up one's life. Here, the Gemara, it seems the Rashi is doing it, being with the Gemara, is saying that Shata Shmad is Farhesya. The Gemara could have rejected just for that fact. Who says that Shata Shmad is Farhesya? So now the Gemara says, all right, based on that, you have a case here where you see that a Jew was required to give up their life. These bimosiot, at the time of the gzeirah, were required to give up their life. And so because they had to give up their life at that point in time, therefore the bimosiot are asurot because they were definitely worshipped. We're going to see in a second, they were definitely worshipped over here. And they remain avodah zarah because during that time the Jew should have given up his life. The fact that he didn't give up his life makes it into avodah zarah. That's what he says. Wait a minute. He says, first of all, Im Shumha Amar Lahu, Im Shumha Lo Tisayin. If it's because of that, don't bring that as a proof to me. Emar Yisrael Mumar Hava, Upoloch Labirotzon. What ended up happening over there is that we have an Yisrael Mumar who worshipped it willingly. It's not that a case where a Jew did it under duress and he worshipped this Bimiosiot. That would be the solution. According to Rabba, or the way, the reason the Chachamim bring as a proof to him is that they think, oh, he was threatened with his life to bow down to it. He should have given up his life, and he didn't. And he bowed down to it. Rabba just suggested, what happens in that case? One should have given up their life, they didn't. That makes it a avodah zarah. And that's why it's a surah afterwards, even when the gzera is batel. Rabba says, no, maybe the case is, and it seems to be that it's an Yisrael Mumar. A Jew sees what's happening to all the Jews. Rashi frames it, it's interesting the way Rashi says it. Diyav shar b'chol ovdim, out of all the worshipers, shalo yeh behen achan mumar, achrei shuret yisol yadam mata. If he sees the Jews so, you know, downtrodden and being treated in this manner, he decides, you know what, better off, the Avodah Chachamim seems to me a much better choice. That he willingly worships the Avodah Zarah. It's not he did it under duress, but he did it willingly. So if they did it willingly, then it's really Avodah Zarah, because then you can't, it's not Batel Olam Ma'it, because it's a Jewish Avodah Zarah that was worshipped. So it's not a proof to me, because he did it under duress, and it's considered Avodah Zarah. It could have been that he did it willingly, and that's why it's classified as Avodah Zarah over here. Rav Ashi says, Lo Teima, don't say Eimar, Elevada Yisrael Mahava. Don't say maybe. He says, that's definitely the case of here, Falach Labaratzo. Rashi says, don't tiptoe around. That's got to be the reason over here. The reason over here is that we're talking about it, there was an Yisrael Mumar. Chizki over here, Rashi says, this is going back on the statement before of the Ones Ketani. That the Ones that we talked about before, when we said, so we explained the onus over here that it was done under duress and befrehesia. That's what Rabba's explanation, or because of befrehesia would be problematic. Therefore, over here, it's also problematic against the shame of Avodah Zarah. Chizkiyah offers an alternative answer over here. Chizkiyah, according to Rashi, this is Chizkiyah is addressing that and saying, Kigon, shenisek labodah kochavim yaim al karnel. It's a case where a non-Jew pours a libation, ben karnel, that's the way the Bach reads it, pours a libation of wine between the horns of the animal. This is your animal, but the Avodah Chacham comes along and pours wine on his head between the horns of the animal towards the Avodah Zarah. So that's why it's a surah over here. It's a surah because he used it to be a, as a shimush to Avodah Zarah. So Makif Laravad Bravo, I nevad hu, I bimus ba'amuhu. Wait a minute. When he pours a libation of wine between the horns of the animal, he's not making the animal to Avodah Zarah. He's using the animal as a bimus. He's using it as some sort of function towards the Avodah Zarah. So why should it, and then Bish Shavua over here, the Bimis Ba'amahu Shavua, that's the Girsa Rabach, which really changed it. It doesn't say Visharya, it's Mutar, but rather Shavua, he made it into that. So over here, since he's doing Ben Karna'a, and he's done a Maaseh, we should suggest that this makes it a Surah. He says, well, that doesn't address the issue, because the Brayta that we're trying to explain is Ezu Ne'avad. What's considered to be something that's worshipped? He's not worshipping this animal, he's just using it as a Shimush towards the Avodah Zarah. That he was menasech la. La, that's the key difference here between the Rav Adar Rav and Chizkiyah, he adds the word la. He pours a libation of wine to the animal between its karnot. So not only is he pouring the wine on the animal, he's worshipping that animal by pouring the wine, this nisach on the animal itself. And that he makes it a sword, the avad b'masa, because he did an action. So even though in general, you cannot be oser, davar shein ashlacha, you can't make somebody else's property a surah. What rights do you have to come to misappropriate somebody's property and make it a surah? That you're not allowed to do. But if you do a masah, asaba masah, if you do a masah of avodah zarah, that even if it's not yours, you can make it a surah. That's what's happening over here. He's taking this guy's behemah, he's pouring a libation on the behemah to worship the avodah zarah. So Eino Chanami, if he bowed down to it, it would be muteret. Why? He didn't do any maaseh on the animal itself. He's bowing down. He's the one doing the maaseh, not anything on the animal. But when he pours the nisach hayayin on the animal itself and doing a maaseh on the animal, that towards the animal also, he's making it a avodah zarah, that already makes it a surah, even if he doesn't own it. And that's the answer of Chizkiyah or Rav Adar Bavel in this, as opposed to the answer the Gemara gave before, which is that we're still talking about bowing down, but we're bowing down, we're talking about because of the problem with the circumstances that caused it, that if it was done befrehesia, it would be, you would have to give up your life. Therefore, if it's done betzina, it still makes the animal a surah, because you're bowing down to it. Over here, they differentiate and say, it's not a problem of bowing down, it's a problem that he did a totally different masa, and that's why by onus is that it's considered a surah. It's the same thing. Even though we say in general, if a person bows down to his friends, he is not chayev. If he does an action to the behemah, then he does make it a surah. So Rav Nachman, poku v'amru lei l'ula, go out and tell l'ula, kvar targamo Rav Huna l'shmatech v'bavel. Rav Huna already established your principle, that which you're saying, Rav Huna already said in Bavel. D'amar Rav Huna, ita be'emet chaviro v'vutza b'fnei avda kuchavim. His animal happened to be just crouched down in front of a Avodah Zarah. Kevet sheshachav v'siman achad asra. The goy comes along and checks that behemah towards the Avodah Zarah. As soon as he hits a siman achad, siman achad is not significant. Or anything, any masa that he does on the animal makes it asura. So over here, it's your animal, and all of a sudden the Ovid of Azura comes and checks it towards the Avodah Zarah. You're out of luck. That's now, your animal now becomes the Kovid of Avodah Zarah. It's problematic. So Minalban Dasra, how do we know that it's a surah? Where do you know this principle from? The fact that when he takes a mass in action, that it makes it a surah. So Elam and Kohanim, if we're talking about the Kohanim, the Rashi suggests over here that we're talking about these Kohanim that worshipped Avodah Zarah in the times of the Malchi Yisrael. And Rashi says, Sha'ansum Malchi Yisrael. That the Malchi Yisrael put them under duress. They forced them to work these Kohanim. They were regular Kohanim, but they forced them, instead of working the Mikdash, to work towards Avodah Zarah. So they did it against their will. So it's the same thing as our case. It was against your will. Something was done against your will. Your behemoth was usurped, right? Misappropriated against your will. And yet it's a surah. So too by the Kohanim. The Kohanim that worship or work in the Avodah Zarah, When they come back to the Mikdash, they're not allowed to service the Mikdash. That's from the Perek in Yechezkel, we know that. That once they have worshipped Avodah Zarah, or once they've worked for Avodah Zarah, they can't come back and work on the Mikdash. So Rashi says the cases are comparable because they did it under duress there. And also over here, it's done under duress or against your will. Nevertheless, the Kohanim now are asurim from working the Mikdash. So to over here, this animal will become asura behana'a. Now Rashi is making a big assumption here. Where did Rashi get it? That the Kohanim that worked in the Avodah Zarah during the time of Machi Yisrael were forced to do that. It's not clear that they were forced to do that. Tosfos reads the Gemara and asks the question totally. He says, if you look at the last line in Tosfos, Ilayim of Kohanim, Shasu Masev and Esru, Avopi Zinzru Raya Gemura. Right? How do you know that there's any proof from there? Shema Asu Masev B'Shalahem. Maybe they did, took action. The Kohanim themselves took action by themselves on their own property. That's why it's Asura. But what you see that is Tosfos is not thinking that the Kohanim were forced over here. Right? So that he's saying that in the end he says, it's Mikol Makom Hachikamar, Afilu Ayu Domim Lezeh, Velo Asu Maaseh, Raku Shel Acharim, Lo Raya Hi, Kedidochi. Saying, don't bring this as a Raya, because we have another reason not to bring as a Raya, even if they did it on other people's property and it would be a Surah, that's not a proof, because we have a reason not to be a proof. So going to Tosfos is not such a good proof in the first place, but the Gemara is rejecting for another logic. And Rashi thinks it's a good proof because they were under duress, which is not necessarily clear that that was the case. So he says, why not? As we said before, right, the Nunbet, that they have their own ability to make decisions. They made their own personal decision to go ahead with this. According to Rashi, even though they were under duress, they acquiesced to do it. Right, that those they did it on their own volition, they went and did this. So now they're going to be held accountable for it. Now they're a surim. That's a knas on them that they acted out of their own volition. Velav nemizbeach. So and over here we're talking about something that was done against the will of the owner. Velav nemizbeach. We'll learn now from the avanim and the mizbeach that the avanim mizbeach, according to where the chashmonim put them or gonized them after the Greeks went ahead and used them towards avodah zarah. So it says, but dilma kedra papa. Dilma kedra papa is like what we saw earlier on in Beth, which is that the reason they put them into Kaniza is because of the matzu pasuk v'darshua. Right, they found the pasuk and they were dorishit that it was boba pritzim v'chilulua. Pritzim came in and they made it mechulal, so they took away the shame hekdesh from it, and then when they worshipped it, they made it into avodah zarah. So they had the ability to misappropriate it because they took away hekdesh. As soon as they boba pritzim v'chilulua, it became profaned right away. Once it's profaned, when they worship it, they made it into their own. They have a kinyan on it. And they can make it into a avodah zarah. So that's not a good proof. Ella, where's the proof from? This is what we talk about, Mikilim, the kelim of Achaz. Dichtiv et kol kelim, asher izni acha melech Achaz, v'malchuto. It's the time of Chizkiyahu, his father, Achaz, used all the clay on Mikdash for avodah zarah. B'malo. Izni acha Achaz, v'malchuto, b'malo, when he used them or misappropriated them for a zarah, that they were hechinu v'ikdashnu. They prepared them and they made them kodesh. And this is the way we explained it back in the Nunbet. Shehechanu shegan zanum. Now what does it mean that they prepared them? They put them into gniza. V'ikdashanu, and we made them kodesh, means shekdashnu acharim taktayem. We brought others in their stead. So what does that show you? Achaz. We're talking about hektish here. It's a Jew. So it's not a bow pritzim v'chilulua. It's not some foreigner coming in and making it to chulin. So therefore, the kodesh remains on it. Achaz has no rights to make or take misappropriate hektesh and change its status. Yet, what do we see? After Achaz used it for Avodah Zarah, they put it into Geniza and they were unwilling to use it anymore. So that shows you that Achaz had the ability to be Oser something that is Inam Shelo, that wasn't his. Since he is able to be Oser the hektesh that wasn't his, so to over here, the Obed Avodah Zarah with a Maseh can change the status of this animal. Just like Achaz through a Maseh took away the shame hektesh and made it into a shame of Avodah Zarah, so it can no longer be used. So to over here, if they shecht your animal, if they pour the libation on the corns of your animal to be worship it, even though it's your animal, they can be oseret. And that's the proof of the Gemara over here. Va'in adam oser davar she'eino shelo. Ah, what about the fact that Achaz is doing something that doesn't belong to him? Okay, even davar b'maseh yitzrulo, but since he did a maseh, he was able to make the masur. Hachanami, in our case too, kevin shasa b'maseh, asra. Even though a person who bows down to the ground, he can't make it a surah that we had earlier in the Masechta, because it's al harim. The Avodah Zarah is al harim, but not the harim atzmam. You can't make the ground into it. Chafar ba borot shichimu me'arot asra. But if he comes into his friend's property and he starts digging out holes and doing actions on the property, asra, there he can make it a surah. Because again, what is it? You have a maaseh over here that makes it a surah. The person who bows down to livestock right? Does not make it asur. Nevertheless, asan chalipin lo v'chomim asran. Then if he makes it, if he uses it as a trade, a border for a avodah zarah, then it becomes asura. For instance, if he has a avodah zarah, he sells it to a goy in exchange for an animal, that animal is asura. This actually is subject to machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. Chadamar chalipin asurin chalipin mutarin. When it comes to chalipin in exchange, that's asur. Chalipin chalipin mutarin. When it comes to a secondary exchange, when if you exchange this animal for something else, then that's not, that is mutar. Chadamar afilu chalipin chalipin namin asurin. And one says that even, you know, multiple exchanges still remain asurin. My time, why is the one who says that when you continue to exchange the animal, say for instance, you sold the avodah zarah for some wine, and then you take that wine and you exchange that wine for an animal, why is that animal going to be problematic? So makra vaita cherem kamohu. Right, that is that it will be cherem. Cherem kamohu means that it will be put out. It has to be put into gniza. It's asur ba'na'a. Anything that is derived from it, that's what the word vayita, cherem kamohu, means. Anything derived from it, hariu kamohu, has the same din as it. So anything that's derived from the avodah zarah is a surah. So any exchange that's done along the way, any item that is in exchange for the avodah zarah, no matter how removed it is from the original sale of the avodah zarah, will be a surah. Avidach, what about the other opinion? Amar kra, who? Who velo chalipei chalipim? It's cherem kamohu, right? That only it, but not it, chalipei chalipin. And he cherem hu is, right? It is the first exchange is considered problematic, but not the other exchanges afterwards. Vida chamu vayle the mute orlo mikilay kerem. That comes to exclude orlo mikilay kerem. That there you don't have, even though they're asur ba'na kilay kerem and orlar asur ba'na, but there's no tfisa. That if you sell them, that item that you sold them for, the fruits remain asurim, but the new item is not asur, it's not to face the isur. Shimachran bikidesh b'dmei mikudesh. If you sell, for instance, he takes fruits of orla, sells them, someone gets money, takes that money, and he goes to and is mekadesh and isha with it. It works. He's able to be mekadesh the isha with that because they do not, they're not to face the isur. No, the fruits remain isur. Now, truthfully, Rashi points out, midrabbanan, it's asur to do this. You're not allowed to get anah from this money. It's just that the rabbanan over there, b'dafke kedusha isha, they didn't say that. About b'dano minayo mirabbanan asur, but to get this anah, it's still asur. Tosos mentions about this. He says that, why is that? Why is there such a distinction? Why midrabbanan is it asur b'anah, but when it comes to kedusha isha, it works. So Tosos says, yesh li ten tam li nachlek, v'nechalek lechalek, she'ena isha dome kol kach lechalupay damim. Because a woman is not like an exchange of money. Inami mishum period. Rivyado gazru baharabana. So either because when you do kiddushin, it's not like you're buying the woman. That's not what you're doing over here. It's not like a regular exchange that the chachamim are going to be osir ba'na. The money that's given over there is to give significance, right? To have some sort of consideration that the woman, an action that indicates the woman has given herself over to the man. So it's not necessarily a transaction. Or number two is the mitzvah periyavya. The chachamim didn't want to be mami devrayim, but makom periyavya. Someone's trying to get married to perform the mitzvah periyavya. They didn't want to be mami devrayim in the face of periyavya. Right now, the Gemara says, okay, but what about the other individual, the idach, the one who says that we don't learn out from the word who to exclude orla v'kilei kerem, has he known this? V'idach alei v'kilei heim lo tzrichei miyute. He doesn't need it. Davilei avodach chavim u'shvi'it shnei b'tkotuvim v'bayachad. We know that by avodah zarah and shvi'it, the items are tofes kedusha. And when you sell the item, the kedusha moves onto the item that you sold as well. So that shnei ketuvim v'bayachad, there are two sukkim teaching you the same din. If you have one pasuk teaching you a din, then that is teaching you a general principle that should apply everywhere. If you have two psukim teaching you the exact same din, that means that they're the exception to the rule, and the rule is the opposite. So that's what it means. You don't learn it, because the fact that the Torah had to tell you twice the same din tells you that those are the exceptions. The Torah only tells you once, and it's a general principle. So, how do we know that Kedusha passes from Avodah Zarah onto the monies that you use to purchase? Or maybe that it becomes also part of it? That's V'chayta Cherem Kamo. Shvi'it, how do we know Shvi'it passes? Dechtiv, ki yovel hi, kodesh ki yelachem. Ma kodesh tofeset damav, vasur. Just like kodesh, when you exchange something in kodesh, if you have a behemah to do a kodesh, and then you redeem it, the Kedusha jumps to the money. So, ashvi'it tofeset damav, so too. When you sell perot shvi'it that are surot, that money becomes a surah also. It comes, takes on the status of shvi'it. Basura. Ima kodesh tofeset damav, yotzei l'chulin. The way kodesh works is that you buy the behemah, then the money becomes kodesh and behemah becomes chulin. So too, ap shvi'it, maybe the same thing. When you sell the perot shvi'it, the perot should become mutarot, and the iser shvi'it, or the perot, shame perot shvi'it, will go onto the money. So that, the Gemara says, no. It remains. The kedusha of the payroth remains on the money and on the payroth themselves. Okay, it's that. Let me give you an example. Lakach peperot shvid basar. He went ahead and exchanged peperot shvid for meat. Elu ve'elu mitbarim b'shvid. At the end, when it comes to the zman of biur, you have to get rid of both the meat and the peperot shvid, because they're both kodosh kedushat shvid now. Lakach b'basar dagim. He buys that meat fish. Yatzar basar v'nichtemzu dagim. Then the basar now is chulin, but the dagim are now kodesh b'kedushat shvid. But the dagim, yain, it uses the fish to buy wine. It's the dagim. The dagim now are chulin, and the yain becomes the kedushat shvid. The yain, shemen, takes that wine by shemen. Yatzar yain v'nichla shemen. The shemen becomes chulin. The yain becomes chulin, and the shemen now becomes kodesh shvid. Okay, it's that. What's the idea? Achron achron yipash b'shvid. Peratzmo asur. The last item has the kedushat shvid plus the original perot remain b'kedushat shvid. Now you have, those are the two things that teach you that there's Tfisat Kedusha. You have Shvi'it and Avodah Zarah. So those are two that come to teach you an exception. V'idach, so why doesn't he learn from there? Because every Shnei Kedubim Ba'chayit Melamdim. He holds that when you have two Psukim, it's still a general principle. We need three Psukim to be Ein Melamdim. So over here he thinks that's two Ar Melamdim. It's Shechud Amitino, and therefore he needs the word Hu to exclude Orla Bikilei Akirim. Now the Gemara is somewhat difficult. Tosus points it out, is that how could you say that Avodah Zarah and Shvi'it are two Shnei Kedubim Ba'chayit Kechad? They don't function the same way. Avodah Zarah, everything it touches becomes Asur. I mean that if you exchange the Avodah Zarah for something, that's Asurah. You exchange that for that, all three items are Asurah. Another fourth item, they're all Asurim. But Shvi'it, it's not that way. Shvi'it is just the payroll Shvi'it and the last item. So how do you call that? Shnei Ketubim Abayim Kechad. They're not teaching the same din. You wouldn't have known one din without the other. They're two different din. So he totally leaves it. Doesn't answer. He says it's Archiun. Now, how could that really be called Shnei Ketubim Abayim Kechad? At least you can say that the common denominator between them is that there is some sort of Tfisat Kedusha, although it still makes it difficult. That's not Shnei Ketubim, general principle of Shnei Ketubim Abayim Kechad. Okay, the new Mishnah. Mishnah says Shalom et Zkimim Beromi. They asked the Jewish Tzakenim in Rome, Im Ein Ritzono Ba'Avodah Chachamim, Hashem doesn't really want Avodah Zarah, Lama Einu Mevatla? Why doesn't he just get rid of it? If people are just worshipping things that the world doesn't need, Hashem would have gotten rid of them. They're worshipping the sun, the moon, the stars, and the constellations. Now what do you want to do? Get rid of those? So he says, Hashem should get rid of his world because of the fools? So okay, let him do this. So any Avodah Zarah that is not useful to the world, like an idol, he'll get rid of it. And he'll leave things like the sun, the moon, the stars, that he won't get rid of. Then what are you going to end up doing? You're actually going to strengthen the hands of those that worship the sun and the moon. There's some that worship the sun and the moon, there's some that worship the idol. All of a sudden the idols disappear because God says you can't worship idols, they disappear. But the sun and the moon stay. So what are the people worshiping the sun and the moon going to say? See, it really is the sun and the moon. Because if it was Avodah Zarah, they would have gone. The fact that they're still around proves that they're Avodah Zarah. So if Hashem was selective about destroying Avodah Zarah, that would strengthen those that worship items that can't be eliminated. Because I can prove to you now the sun and the moon are really gods because they didn't disappear. All the other gods have disappeared. So Hashem can't do this. So here, instead of it being zakenim, we have a persona or people that ask the zakenim. In the missions, it's done in a anonymous manner. Here it says the philosophim. I don't know if these are Greek philosophers. Rashi says they were from umot olam, chachmei umot olam. If your God doesn't want Avodah Zarah, why doesn't he get rid of it? You're right. But same thing as our Mishnah. The world works like itself. They're going to be punished. So meaning that the world functions in a normal way. Hashem does not intervene in Teva. Doesn't intervene in nature. The nature is that things will continue, even though Hashem really should intervene. He doesn't, because that's nature. Hashem doesn't change the laws of nature in order to punish someone. They will be brought to din in the end. Someone steals a saw worth of seeds, and he plants them. The din should be so that they won't grow. Nevertheless, they do grow. Hashem doesn't change nature because the guy stole it. It still grows, and he's going to have to pay the price for the fact that it grows. person who sleeps with his friend's wife, she shouldn't get pregnant, right? Because it's a maaseh zima, it's a maaseh of a rayot. She can't get pregnant. Olam ki minago noeg. That the minag of the olam is that when a man sleeps with a woman, she can be impregnated. V'alech v'shotim shkilu adin 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 v'shotim. Right, to do this, we'll give din in the end. V'ano damrei shlokish. Amar kajwal, dayan rishim shosim sela shali pumbi. It's not enough that rishim make my sela shali pumbi. Right, that they make my sela, sela being a coin that is minted. Rashi actually uses the word coin over here. Fine. But he says that, what, it's a form. It's an image. They make my image. We are made b'tzelem Elohim. So it's not only that they misappropriate, they misuse or abuse their image by not doing what I ask. El shemetachinoti. They cause me, umachtimim oti ba'al-korchi, and they force me to develop my image against my will. And then a Kodesh Baruch Hu develops life or tzelem Elohim. And over here, they're performing arayot. And they can go ahead and make the image. I mean, that they force me to create life that I don't really want to. So not only are they abusing the creation in their own images and they're doing what it's not supposed to, they're forcing me now to create these unwanted, quote-unquote, unwanted ubarim. Concept here is, and it's important to note here, that when they say, Olam Kabina Golomer, it doesn't just mean Mother Nature and everything happens. Hashem, as the Ramban says, Allah Torah is a fundamental belief in Breishit that he says this, that Hashem creates and runs nature every moment. Nature is nature only because we see it every day, because that's the normal course of action and reaction. That doesn't mean that it's any less so a miracle or any less so that Hashem's involved with it. But it's like that idea, that concept that everything's been out of Kolam Omed, is that Hashem's not going to change the laws of nature. He's going to continue that miracle of nature. He's going to continue the action-reaction to happen, even though it's against his will. Because if it wasn't, then we wouldn't, have the Midat HaRachamim, we'd have Midat HaDin. Midat HaDin means that for every action there's a reaction, right away, someone does something wrong, they'd be punished. And then it would take away free will in a sense. The Rachamim that Hashem says, it gives us a chance to rectify it, but that also has a risk with it, which is that you don't get punished right away. A person doesn't know that they've done something wrong, or doesn't rectify their ways right away. But Hashem sustains it, and that's the Midat HaRachamim. That writes, Olam Kiminagol Omeid. Midagol Omeid means that's Din, Midat HaDin. Action, reactions. Whatever action happens, there's a reaction. That's true in nature of, you know, the natural order, but it's not true in Maas Mitzvot. When you do an Avera, we don't say automatically that as Midat HaDin comes there, there's Midat HaRachamim is in force. Amar Shal Philophilos Echad et Rabbi Gamliel. One philosopher asked Rabbi Gamliel, Katu b'Torat Chem ki Hashem kareha ish ochlahu kel kana. Hashem is a consuming fire. He's jealous. And he's talking about here someone who worships Avodah Zarah. He's talking about someone who worships Avodah Zarah. Mipei ma mitkanei b'ovdeh v'in mitkanim ba. Why does Hashem get jealous of those that worship Avodah Zarah, not the Avodah Zarah itself? I'll give you an example. What is the one child. He was bringing up a dog. He called the dog the same name as his father. When he swears, Abba. When he says it, he says, in the name of my dog, Abba. Who's it going to matter? Is it going to matter at the ben ukois or the kelev ukois? Is it going to matter at the child or the
dog?
Of course, the person causing the problem here is not the dog. The dog is just him being a dog. The fact that he named the dog in this way and he addresses the dog like his father, whether it's his father's name, or calls him Abba, so then he says, my father, the dog, or the dog, my father, that is a problem because the child is saying it, not because the dog is there. So who's he going to get married? Well, Ben Ukois. You're calling it a kelev. Over here, yesh b'mash. How do you know that a Avodah Zarah has something substantial to it? Over there, you're talking about a dog. Over here, you're talking about something mamash, a Avodah Zarah. So Marita, Amar lo, pamachat naflat leka b'yireinu. We had a fire in our city, v'nisrafa kol ha'ir kula. The whole city was burnt to the ground. V'oto beit ha'berachavim lo nisraf. The only thing that survived was the Avodah Zarah. So Amar lo, mishkadu l'cha mashal. All right, you want to know, the ma'adabar domar lo, bechu b'aser v'dam shosir cha'alav midina. That a part of his dominion rebelled against him. Kshuoseh melchama im ha'chaim ooseh o im ha'metim. He goes to fight and to put down the rebellion. Who does he go to kill? He goes to kill those that are living or those that are dead? Abi Omer, ima chayim ose, only with those that are living. So now he says, back to our life, kelevata koreota, metata koreota. So if you call Avodah Zarah a dog, because that's what he compared it to in the first case, second case he compared it to a dead person, imkedya abdenam in olam. So he says, if that's the case, he should eliminate it. Hashem should get rid of it from the world. Why is Hashem allowing it to exist in the world if it's a dog and dead? If he ascribes no powers, he just get rid of it. It's again the same logic that was used. If they worship things that the world didn't need, that'd be fine. They worship to all these things, the suns, the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations. The afikim are, Rashi says, afikim motzei mayim, like pools of water or springs of water, the geot and the valleys. Yabed olamo mipnei shotim, he's getting rid of his whole world because of these fools that are worshiping. V'chein umer, it says in the Pasuk in Tzfanya, asof asif kol me'al pnei adama, num Hashem, asif adamu be'ema, asif of ha-shamayim udge'ayam, v'amach shelot et harishayim. Hashem is saying that all these cases he should gather in, all these things where there were violations, he should gather them in and take them in. That's the question. It's a rhetorical thing. Asof asif kol me'al pnei adama, I should get rid of and eliminate all these things. I should destroy and eliminate all these things that have been misused as a behema, the ofer shamayim, the geyam, and mechshot, the rishim, all things that tripped up the rishim, that they worshipped them, they did the wrong things with them. I should go get rid of all my creation because of them? Balo adam, hein ovdim, and they also worship people. Bechvati et adam yal pnei adama. Those are people. What, I should eliminate all human beings because people worship other human beings? So it can't be. That's the Pasuk. The broken prophet, the Pasuk in Tzfanya, teaches us that Hashem's not willing to destroy his Briah. He's not willing to eliminate his Briah just because of the mistakes of people who use them towards Avodah Zarah. His Briah is Shlema. His Briah is fine. People make mistakes. They will be held accountable. The Briah is not going to be held accountable, but the person who does the wrong thing with the Briah is the one that will be held accountable. Right, we'll stop over here.